I remember in Dallas one time, and Diane and Barry, you were there. Anne, if you were here, I don't know if Anne's here today, but Anne was there. There was Sally was there. Sally Curran was there. She was Cowie then. There was about 19 of us from New Zealand, all from Christchurch, that went to this conference in Dallas called Light the Nations Conference. It was convened by C. Peter Wagner. A number of you will know of C. Peter Wagner and his writings. And this conference, they brought a number of the revivalists from Argentina up into the United States to expose the church, or more of the church, to the revivalists in Argentina. There was Carlos Anacondia, there was Claudio Friedson, there was Sergio Scataglini. Fantastic names. Some of them you think you need an inoculation, but anyway, it's sort of these men and people that were just moving in the power of God, seeing great things happening in Argentina. Argentina was in revival. I don't know if many of you have heard of Carlos Anacondia. Be good to search out his name. Very powerful businessman who was also an evangelist, and phenomenal campaigns and crusades happening. And so those guys were brought up, and others were brought up, and we were in this conference of probably 7,000 to 8,000. Was it Barry, or is Barry here? Wave your hand at me, Barry, if you're here. Not here. But at one point, the stage was about that high, and a lot of people were so hungry, you know, that the preacher, whoever was ministering, sometimes, not every time, but sometimes the preacher would be starting to obviously get toward where we thought his message was winding up, and there'd possibly be a ministry time or prayer or impartation time, and people would just start to fill into the aisles 5 to 10 minutes before the altar call was given, you know. And I don't know if any of you know Glenys McFadden. She's with home with the Lord now, but she was one of the ones that for some reason always got to the front. I don't know what it was about Glenys. She always got to the front. And just incredible. But anyway, at this one time, they had this impartation time up on the stage, but the stage was up there. I mean, I was looking up at the edge of the stage. And people were just being hoisted up onto the stage with their arms. They had these big guys that were bouncers, well, ministry assistants, up on the stage. Remember, they say, come on, big fella, and I put my arms up, and they just wrenched me up onto the stage. And I felt like my arms were just about being ripped out of my sockets. And then somebody laid hands on me. I was down on the floor. Then they dragged me out and dumped me in the corridor, along with all the other, totally, you know, unsanctimonious. You know, there was no niceties about it. It was like, we've got 5, 6, 7,000 people to lay hands on. We're not mucking around with niceties. It's wrench up, hand boom on the head, on the ground, and dragged out into the corridor. And here's Janet Ling lying against the wall, and others all lying against the wall on the corridor. Just wonderful times, you know. Just wonderful times. But the thing is, you see, you know, we tried to make everything so nice and acceptable and whatever that means. And you know, when you think when the 400 people made of soldiers, temple guards, came to arrest Jesus. Because after all, if you're wicked, you fall backwards. No, that was somebody's theory. forget I said that. Somebody's going to have dreams about that now. They're going to pray, never let me fall backwards, Lord, you know. They come to arrest him. And then Jesus sees them coming, and he steps out toward them to meet them. And who are you looking for? We're looking for, you know, looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And then he says this, I am he. And it says all 400 of them stepped back and fell over backwards. Wow. You know, we're looking for tidy. Well, I'm not looking for tidy. Tidy house, tidy bedroom, tidy car, but not tidy church, not tidy not tidy, everybody's sitting neatly and comfortably and, you know, and because we need heavenly order. We need heavenly Holy Ghost pandemonium. We need, because things have to be shifted. Demons have to be shifted. Attitudes have to be shifted. Lukewarmness has to be shifted. Staleness has to be shifted. Religiosity has to be shifted. Religious spirits have to be evicted. Spirits of perversion have to be shifted. People need to be liberated and set free. And we don't always have time to pray for people individually and take them through a great process. You know, apparently on Saturday morning over at Celebration Center, I wish I was there. Oh, man, I wished I'd been there. Anyway, because I've been there most of the rest of the time. And just during that morning, the power of God moved. And I was told that a bunch of people, I think Murray got them to pray for their minds or something. Suddenly people started to manifest demonically and demons came out of people. Nobody was taking them through a process. Nobody was taking through weeks and weeks of journey, weeks of process. I tell you, when the presence of God and the power of God is welcome and present in a gathering, or on our own, but in a gathering, I tell you, anything becomes possible. And so I don't want generic church. I don't want some sort of model that has everything tidy and has everything down to a minute and the run sheet down to a minute. I've been in situations like that. It's scary, because what happens if we go over the minute? You know what I'm saying? And so I want God. I want the Holy Ghost. I want kingdom of God. I want you to experience Him. I want you to encounter Him. I want your life to be transformed by Him. What happened? You were there. Tell me.
I was there.
You were there.
I was there. And I haven't felt the power of God like that since 95. I mean, awesome. And I was on the ground, and man, look, I was there till 2:30, and oh, 2:30 anyway. And I had to come home for something here, but I didn't want to. It was really, really, really poo. I didn't want to come up, but it was so. I had about three different people pray for me, and it's hard to put into words, isn't it? But we just want to encourage all of you. You do need to come forward. Do need to open up your hearts to the Lord. And you know this, with the power, when Jesus sent the disciples out, He hadn't known them long. If you read the book, you know, and then He sent them out and He said, go and do all these great things. They must have been real shocked. But He said, I give you power and I give you authority. And He gives us that authority and that power to go out and do it.
Amen. Amen. Got any more? Got anything more you want to say? Because you're welcome. What happened?
It was absolutely incredible. It was just beautiful. I just sat on the floor and cried and cried and cried. Because I saw the Lord moving through the people. There was no words. No words. Murray was just laying hands on their heads, their hearts, their feet, and their hands. And that's what we've been given. You know, God's created us for such a time as this, to use our heads, to use our hearts, to use our hands and our feet. It was amazing. And the Spirit of the Lord just hovered in that meeting. Absolutely. There were tears. There was laughter. There was total silence. It was just the most beautiful presence of the Lord that I've ever felt in such a long time. And I've been a Christian for many years. And I tell you what, He got hold of me and wrecked me. And it just amazing, 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 amazing.
Stay here. Stay. Stay here.
Yes.
More.
More.
More. More. More. More. Remember another time we went, Janet and I and several others went to Lakeland, just right at the end of an amazing move there, which unfortunately got a bit mucked up because of some stuff that was going on with one of the people, but nevertheless God moved very powerfully in that whole time. And we'd arrived off the plane, long journey, and got to this meeting. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, there's no anointing here. it was in a church, and a guy was talking about his Bibles and the Bible that was apparently good for dyslexic people and that sort of thing. And I'm thinking, oh, okay. It was sort of a midweek thing, and the thing was really tapering off. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, we'll just be through this meeting. We'll get home back to the hotel and have a good sleep, you know. Because after a long flight, a whole bunch of long flights, you just want to sleep, right? Well, there we go, down the back there. Hello, Bev. Young people got a hold of you. Yeah, yeah, awesome. Awesome. Holy Ghost. Just keep soaking it, guys. Just keep soaking her. Yeah, just keep soaking her. Anyway, and then they decide at the end they're going to have a fire tunnel. Okay, Jan, I said, you want to go home? Janet said, no, I want to go through the fire tunnel. I said, doesn't look like there's any fire. So I had a bit of an attitude, you know. And at the end of about four long flights, I've got all sorts of attitudes. And anyway, we decided we'll go up. And it looked like it was just total deadpan, like there was nothing happening, you know. Anyway, we stepped into this line. Were you there, Noah? No. There were several people there. I can't remember who at all. We stepped into this line, and suddenly, whack! Whoa! Oh my goodness, Janet's just blotto, and just smacked up, and I'm having to try and hold her as well as feeling affected myself, and I'm thinking, oh, I repent. Oh my goodness, somebody's carrying something very powerful in here, in this line. I didn't know quite who it was, or it may have been several. Got out the other end, and it went into a vision, and then at that night back in a hotel, I just had dreams all night of praying for my brothers, and praying for and just all night, just intercession, and I hadn't experienced anything like it. And here we go from looking at a situation, look totally deadpan, nothing happening, look like Dullsville, and you step into the line, and whack, in the Holy Ghost. I tell you, it was powerful. So it taught me a lesson, that you don't prejudge something. You just don't. And Bev, you all right? You hope you're not. And I just keep laying hands on her. Just keep her soaking. Just right. That's right. Just keep her. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Isn't that awesome? That's the presence of God touching your life. Isn't that awesome? Presence of God touching your life. You're just those around her. Just reach out for it. Just take a hold of it. Just don't let it pass you by without taking hold of something. Some of the best fire tunnels I've seen have been in Zimbabwe. With Pastor Brent Douglas. When he came over with us, and he was invited, we were invited to go with him to, just in case there was trouble. There wasn't any trouble. Well, not that trip anyway. And but I'll tell you, in this room of 800 people and Brent ministers, it's just so powerful. And then he sets up this prayer tunnel. I tell you what. Oh, man, the power of God. Just smacking people. Just people getting smashed. And there's one dear lady, she was a big lady, and she started flailing around like this with her arms out, and I got whacked by her fingers at one point. It was like getting whacked by a towel, you know, you're flicking your towel like that. And I thought, well, better keep back. And next minute, she's manifesting demonically on the ground, and it turns out that she had been dedicated as a baby to the ancestral spirits, and there'd been a blood covenant made to do with the ancestral spirits, and you got to stay away from that stuff. That's got on a resurgence at the moment. Don't get into it. Don't go there. Your ancestors, if they're in the Lord, they're with the Lord. If they're not, they're not. And so don't try and draw them back or draw their power back. That's paganism. It's demonic. Okay. This lady had been dedicated to these, and so those demonic spirits were there by blood covenant. So Sarah, who's Colin's wife, came and she had understanding of this and ministered to him, and she got set free. It was just so awesome. But when she stepped into that prayer, that tunnel, that fire tunnel or prayer chain, whatever you want to call it, it was the power of the Holy Ghost that stirred that stuff up and exposed it. And then some ministers who had understanding and anointing cast those things out and set that woman free. Isn't that awesome? So I've seen some fantastic stuff. And it's just a few little things. One of the greatest impartation times I ever saw in Collins Church in Zimbabwe was right in the very early days, with either the first or the second trip, I can't remember. Could have been the first. They were in a little town hall. There was probably 300 people gathered, maybe more. There had been some people coming to the night meeting from other churches around the place who had heard about the Holy Ghost and were curious about what was happening, because this is when their church was very much in the fledgling days. Now it's a movement of probably approaching 1,000 churches just in 20-something years. Just absolutely phenomenal. And anyway... You may think this is very strange, but we were there, we were worshiping, and I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, I want to have fun with my people. First time I'd ever heard that in my life. And if you're religious, you would think that was the devil. Because if you're religious, God is always horrible and sad and angry. You know what I'm saying? And you've got to try and appease him. But when you're in Christ, you know that he's full of joy. That in the presence of the Lord there is fullness of joy, not fullness of grief and horror, but fullness of joy. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so I felt the Lord say to me, I want to have fun with my people. I turned to Colin and I said, this is what I think the Holy Spirit said to me. He said, yeah, let's go for it. Because Colin was up for anything. You know, he was just wanting God to move on his people. So he said, okay, that's what I think we should do. Let's clear the stage, because there was all these people on the stage and musicians and chairs and all this sort of thing. Let's clear the stage and just invite everybody up who's feeling something of the presence or power of God. Yeah, yeah, let's do that. Like a couple of kids, you know, with new toys. And so we up on the stage and I call everybody up who's feeling the power of God, the presence of God. This is on the Sunday night meeting toward the end of this conference. And all these people come up, including a bunch of Methodists. And the Methodists didn't believe in the Holy Spirit. Well, the Methodists in that place didn't believe in the Holy Spirit in terms of the person and presence of the Holy Spirit. But they felt their feet were on fire. Because I said, you may be feeling heat in your body, or you may be feeling this, or you may be feeling that. And they were feeling fire in their feet, and they didn't know what it was. So they come up on the stage, along with a whole bunch of other people. Well, it was absolute pandemonium. It was like the first lady I grabbed a hold of, she was a beautiful lady who was a wife of a senior pastor of one of the other churches, so dignified. So beautiful. I grabbed her hand. She said, oh, I'm here just visiting. And next minute, the Holy Ghost just whacks her. And she, boom, on the ground. They had no time for catches. There was girls going around with cloths trying to put it on people's legs and modesty cloths, you know what I mean? And the legs were flying like this and the cloths were flying. And it was just like a bomb went off. And people were just throwing around the place, drunk in the Holy Ghost, laughing, crying. It was just, Colin at one stage was staggering past like this, and he had four people hanging off him. They were trying to hang on to him, either to keep him up, or they were trying to stay up themselves. And they were staggering past like this, looking really ridiculous and drunk in the Holy Ghost. And I said, hey, this is just so much fun. And I said, hey, Colin, whoa, like this, about from here to Murray away. And they all just went, boom. And the Holy Ghost was really having fun with his people. It was just the most incredible fun. people being filled, people being set free, people encountering God in a way they never ever dreamt possible. Methodists realizing that the Holy Ghost is real. And I don't know how many hundred people ended up getting so impacted. It went on for quite some time. It was the most intense impartation time, the most fun. If you could feel, something filling in your hand like this, and then you just at people, and they just fly. It was just phenomenal. People say, "Where's your theology for that?" The person of God, Holy Spirit, revival, God having fun with His beloved, blood-washed people that are His blood-washed sons and daughters. And the result of that meeting, plus the others, was that it ignited something in the city of Bulawayo that then continued for months and months and months and months. And there were at times people coming to look in the side doors of the church when they were having Sunday meetings, and the power of God would build in the worship, and then people would feel the power of God. And if they didn't know the Lord or what, they would just suddenly run away. And others were getting saved and delivered, and it's just been a phenomenal thing. And a number of other factors were involved in the way that church grew. Very good leadership, strong, clear leadership, faith-based, word of faith-based, actually, faith-based, great honor of the presence of God, great honor, love of connecting with the presence of God, and worship and praise, evangelism strategies, teaching the people. They had a training track. There are just so many factors. And that church has been now studied, that group of churches has been studied as a phenomenon by people in Bible schools and so on. They want to know what are the factors that caused this church that went from just a house group, basically of ex-backslidden people that Colin and Sarah went and gathered up, and now is a movement of well over 800 churches, and they're currently in the latter stages of completing their 10,000-seat auditorium in Bulawayo, which we gave toward the Cheers a couple of years ago, and we've helped with them a few different things, but this was because of the power of God. There's been some other great churches built in those regions in terms of, you know, quite large churches, but none of them have had the results and the effects that Harvest House International has had. And so we've been friends with them for, well, Danielle, you were a baby when they first came. So I won't say what age. for 25, 26, 27, 28 years. And hope to go back in the not too distant future, COVID stuff and all that, everything, you know. But so what I'm saying is this: when you hunger for the presence of God in greater dimensions than you experienced or than you've experienced already, then it sets you up for God to respond to that hunger. God has always responded to hunger through history. He's responded to people crying out because of their bondage, and then they repent and they call it. God raises a deliverer. The book of Judges is all about that. And then church history is like that too. People start to realize that, hey, what we've got is nowhere near what seems to be on offer through the scriptures and what we've heard about in history. And so people start to get dissatisfied with the status quo. They start to get hungry inside. They know there's more. Their spirit starts to cry out for more. They just become hungry. God responds to that hunger because one of His names is El Shaddai. One of his names is El Shaddai. I think it's El Shaddai, the breasted one, dude, pardon me here. But it conjures the idea of one who has a bountiful supply. And so Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form, and the Holy Spirit is the presence of the Father and the Son and Himself present with us. And so when you have Holy Spirit with you, you have the potential for everything in the kingdom of God. And so our heart's desire, our hunger, is for the more of God. We've been listening out for moves of God. We've been listening out. We've got our ear to the ground. as many of you have, we've got ear to the ground, what God's doing in the nations. Reports start breaking out of things in universities and things in other places. And then within New Zealand, there's reports of fresh moves of the Spirit. And we are a people who are hungry and desire to keep moving with the Spirit. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. We're not going to rest in what happened in the 90s. We're not going to rest there and just tell stories to the next generation. We want the next generation to come into all that we experience and more. We want you to experience more. We want you to experience more than we experience. We are with you. We will celebrate with you. We will try and help you and coach you. But we want you to experience more. Okay? Because the future of the church, the future of the hope of the nations rests in generations coming up who don't just have theology. Theology can be wonderful if it's good theology, but we want them to encounter the Lord themselves and be filled with the Spirit themselves so that they have the power to move forward in the gospel and the power to be witnesses, the power to see that God heal people, deliver people, and transform people. So that's who we are. And I was going to speak about the resurrection. Well, this is the resurrection. This is the Spirit. This is the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And I'll go to the last passage I had. I had a lot of scripture here, actually. I was going to really beat you up. But no, I was really going to... No, I'm not going to beat you up. Not at all. Sorry. Shouldn't have said that. We'll just finish on this. Janet's just been in Australia, by the way, at a conference called In Him, which is or In Him if you're an Australian, and because that's how they say it, you see. And and so we put her on the plane Tuesday. She was over there. Darren Chettle was there to help look after her. He's done a great job of that, and he's met some wonderful people. She was there as a prophet, doing prophetic training and equipping, and along with a whole group of fivefold ministries, some from Tasmania, some more from New Zealand, some from Australia, and she's met some wonderful people, so she comes back this afternoon. So it was great that she was able to be there, I was able to be here, and we've had a good time. Romans chapter 8, just finishing on this, Romans chapter 8, verse... See, when the Holy Ghost broke out for us in February 1995, when Toronto was going, Jill Austin had already been in the city and had an amazing move with Murray Watkinson over in Celebration Centre. Wonderfully controversial, but massive impact on people's lives. Massive impact on people's lives. And then up into the North Island with Jill, with Brent Douglas and Mike Connell. And then it stirred up all sorts of stuff, all sorts of resistance, because it just pushed on a lot of religious thinking. But people that were impacted in that move were really impacted for the rest of their lives. And and then through Rodney Howard Brown ministering in the States with great moves and the whole laughing, all the laughter that broke out and the just phenomenal moves of God. And then Toronto, you know, what people sometimes call the Toronto blessing. I just call it the Holy Ghost. But it was a real move of healing and the love of the Father and so on. Then you had down in Pensacola, just the whole move there that was more orientated toward evangelism. But also it was also a lot in the AOG, which really needed reviving. Historical Pentecostal movement that needed empowering and refilling with the Holy Ghost in many ways. But many people went to all of those moves, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people traveled the globe to get to those places to encounter God, and then went back to their home bases. And oftentimes things broke out. Sometimes it was squashed by religious spirits or misunderstanding or whatever, but nevertheless God moved and shifted the church and broke in with more revelation and understanding. And people like Heidi and Roland Baker came out of that totally transformed, and the Toronto church and under the power of the Holy Ghost goes back to Mozambique, miracles start to break out amongst the orphans. There'd been civil war. There'd been terrible tragedy in the nation. All the birds had been eaten. If you go there now, you can probably hear the odd bird. But when we got there, somebody said, notice there's, you can't hear any birds chirping. And I said, no, you're right. I haven't heard any. He said, because they were all eaten during the civil war because people were so desperate. And so when she got back there, there was just miracles broke out. Eyes began to open. Deaf ears began to open. People began to get saved. Now, with Heidi enrolled under their ministry, they've the last count, and it was several years ago, the last count, well over 15,000 churches have been planted out of that move of God. One of the greatest church planting movements in history. The churches just keep reproducing themselves into the, and they're into the Congo, they're into all sorts of areas, being persecution, being real opposition at times, but that's just phenomenal. See, God has ways of moving His church forward, and it's always by a move of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit brings refreshing, renewal. There's people get saved and encounter God, and then there's revelation and amongst it that's released that empowers us for the next phase that that we're called to embark on. And the church impacts the world again with a fresh vision, fresh figure, fresh empowerment, and it's just so awesome. When you miss out on a move of God, you miss out on a lot. And so in Elise's mother, where are you, Elise? Oh, there. Elise's mother, Nina, my niece, came down from Auckland to study at university. I think she had been to some Rodney Howard Brown meetings. Is that right? You're nodding your head, eh? Yeah. And I don't know whether Nina knew it or not, but when the young people started to gather, before we started our night meetings again, we had night meetings then, before we started our night meetings again and people were still on holiday, some of the young people, I think, included Paul Francis, I think Craig Wilson, I think you were there. Ruth, I think, were you in England at the time? You're on, you leave on that thing in England. I can't remember who all was there. But anyway, they just said, look, could we just get around the piano and we'll just worship God and so on. So that's what happened. And then we heard the reports that the Holy Ghost had moved in some way. And they said, hey, this is what's happened. Can we do it again? I said, absolutely, do it again. You know, next Sunday night, Holy Ghost moved again. And then we think, oh my goodness, what do we do? We don't want to just bring the older adults into this and go back to what we were doing. That could just kill it. So that, what do we do? So we said, you keep doing what you're doing and we'll invite the older adults to come into it and we'll just be with you. So that night, that first night we did that, worshipping, and then the Holy Ghost just began to move. And David Wilson, Craig's father, was jumping around the chairs. Quite a conservative man he was. Lois, wasn't he? And he was jumping around the chairs. I think your daughter, one of your daughters, cried and wept and cried her way back into the kingdom. Janet got hit by the Holy Ghost. She was on the floor laughing. Eden, just like you, laughing and laughing and laughing for about 20 minutes. Had no idea what was funny, but it was incredibly funny. Is that how it was? Yeah, okay, exactly how it was. When she got up off the floor after about 25 minutes, she had some real problems going on in her knees, where her knees were seizing up. And at night, sometimes she'd wake up in the morning, it was really painful to get her knees working again. We were getting pretty concerned about them. But on the floor, laughing her head off, both knees were healed. She'd also had a really bad experience in her younger life, really bad experience with somebody who really hurt her badly in her younger life, who had threatened to track her down and so on. So she lived with this foreboding fear in the back of her mind that this person could turn up. So she'd often, if I was away from home, she would often lock the doors, lock the windows. If she was ever going to have a shower, she'd shower with her eyes open just in case. And she had a plan in her head if this person ever turned up, what she would do and call the police and so on. Well, she'd tried to forgive the guy. She'd released him. She'd done all sorts of things. She'd journeyed through. But while she was on the floor, under the power of God, laughing her head off like that, she got up, and then later on she realized that fear was not there anymore. The terror was not there anymore. And she didn't have to lock the doors anymore. She didn't have to have this plan there anymore. She could shower with her eyes shut, you know, so the shampoo didn't get in her eyes, and so on and so forth. And so, you know, there's just amazing things happen when God is welcome and we're hungry for him and he begins to pour out his spirit in a fresh way and we say, Lord, whatever you're doing, we're in. Whatever we're doing, we want to be in. We are in, Lord. We are in. Whatever you're doing, we're in. And so that's just a little bit of history for you. A little bit of history. Let's all stand. I was going to read that passage, wasn't I? Yeah, well, I'll read the passage. And this is Romans chapter 8, verse 10. I could read before this and after it, but then you can read the whole book. So, you know. Now, verse 10, now Christ lives his life in you. And even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, and you'd have to read what he means by dead, his life-giving spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. Yes, God raised Jesus to life. And since God's spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same spirit that breathes life into you. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. He was dead in that tomb, body cut to pieces, nails in his hand, and he'd become sin for us. And God showed the effectiveness of that blood sacrifice by an angel coming and rolling that stone away on the third day. And the Holy Ghost in that team raising him from the dead, not just to be alive again, but to be resurrected and transformed in a glorious body. That same Holy Ghost that overcame death, overcame the worst the Romans could throw at him, overcame the worst that religion could throw at him, overcame our sin, our sickness, our disease, rose up out of that grave by the same Holy Ghost that dwells in you if you're in him. What a phenomenal thing. And so we want more. Whatever he's doing, we want in. Whatever he's doing, we want more. We want more. We want our bodies to be flooded with light. We want our spirits to be alive in him. Alive in him. Because when you're resurrected, when you've got resurrection life in you, life may try and crush you. Life might try and put you in a cave and put a big stone over you saying you're finished, but the Holy Ghost is in you. So that stone can't stay there and you can't stay in that cave because the spirit of resurrection is going to take you out of that cave and cause you to live again and cause you to rise again and cause you to overcome. That's the spirit who lives in us. That's the spirit who lives in us. And it's not about your age. It's not about your socioeconomic level. It's not about your income. It's not about your education. It's about your open heart. It's about your faith. It's about you saying, Holy Ghost, Spirit of God, just lift your hands to the Lord now. Holy Ghost, Spirit of God, Spirit of resurrection, I am your temple. Repeat after me, Holy Ghost, I am your temple. Fill me to overflowing. Shift in me everything that needs to be shifted. Bring revelation to me that I need to grow. Let me fall in love with you all over again. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my King. You're my Savior. Holy Ghost, fill me. Now link hands across the place if you would. And if you're not comfortable with that, that's okay. But link hands. Father, right now, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, you're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You're the baptizer. You're the one who made it possible for your spirit to come and dwell in us. So we thank you right now. Holy Ghost, just fill every person in this room. Fill every person online. Let us come into a whole new place in you. Let revival break out in this nation. Let revival break out in our lives. Let awakening break out. Let renewal break out. Lord, transform us. Fill your people, fill your people, fill your people in Jesus' name. Pray after me, Father, I am a candidate for revival, for awakening, and to be a carrier of your fire. Fill me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Let's give the Lord a clap offering this morning. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your beautiful name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, the beautiful thing is you don't have to be in a gathering. You don't have to be in a meeting. You don't have to be in a meeting to just come into a fresh encounter with the Lord. He just loves fellowshipping with you. He just loves being welcome in your life. He really does. So just in your own private time, you can just be saying, Lord, fill me, Lord. Just reveal whatever you want to reveal to me, Lord. I just want you. I yield my life to you. Do in me what you'd want to do. Let me be your temple on earth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't feel like tearing heads off demons. But anyway, you know. Yeah, people are wanting cups of tea and all that boring stuff, you know. So anybody got sickness in their body right now, or a disease in their body, or you've got an injury that's just stubborn in its healing, or you've had an injury and it hasn't recovered properly, just put up your hand or step out into the aisles. Just step out into the aisles right now if you would. And some people may need to go to people, but Father, we just thank you for your healing presence here right now. We thank you right now for your healing presence. Hey, have you got a word of knowledge, Murray? No, you. Oh, your nose. Huh? For your nose? What's happening? Oh, you had COVID and it's hanging on a bit. You got stuff running. Could you guys come and lay hands on them? And just rebuke that. Just rebuke the remainder of the COVID deal. Thank you, Father, right now. Thank you. Hello? Pardon? She wants to meet Jesus. That's absolutely awesome. That's absolutely awesome. What's your name? I apologize. I didn't create that opportunity. That's really not very good of me. But thank you for wanting to meet the Lord. Just stretch here. Anybody else want to know Jesus Christ today? Anybody else want to give your life to Jesus? You want to meet Jesus? Anybody else? Anybody else? Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Anybody else over this side? Come on up. You're right, Dave. You're here for healing, eh? Yep. Can some people gather around Dave here? There's great, lovely, curly hair and the beard. Just come and gather around him and pray for him. There's other people that have stepped out into aisles. Love you to pray for them. Other people that have stepped out to aisles, just lay hands on them. Pray for them. You believers all around the place, just step out and lay hands on them. Pray for them. Just look around. Wait. Lift your hand if you've stepped out into the aisle for healing. Okay? Look around and see people around you. And go and lay hands on them. Go and pray with them. Over here. Over here. Over here. What's your name?
Lily.
Lily. What a beautiful name. That is a lovely name. And you want to rededicate your life or give your life to the Lord? You do. Okay. How about we all pray together, church, those who are not praying for healing? You're trying to pray after me? You'd be right. Father, today, I thank you for calling me home. Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God that came for me because I was lost. Today, Lord, I'm found. I believe that you died for me to set me free from the power of sin. So today, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins and help me turn away from those things which you reveal to me that are wrong. So Father, I ask you to come into my life. Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. I am yours. I am yours. I dedicate my life to you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for making me your daughter. In Jesus' name. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your presence now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Could I just pray for you? Put my hand on your shoulders, Father, right now for Lily. I just thank you, Lord, for a fresh touch of your life. A whole fresh dimension open up for her right now. Lord, you love her so perfectly. You love her so completely. Lord, let her experience your love more and more as every day passes. In Jesus' name, reveal yourself to her in great ways. Lord, let the word of God come alive to her. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Welcome into the family. Welcome into the family. Welcome into the family. I know that you already come to the church, don't you? You do. So it's just wonderful. God bless you. Father, let her receive the Holy Spirit today. Let her receive Holy Spirit today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Fresh touch on her life. Fresh touch on her life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just if anybody else, if you haven't been prayed for yet regarding healing, just lift up your hands. Just some people here. Right.